Okay, so I want to see if we can finish up today the issue of Marisayim. We're discussing the problem that the Shach raised on the Ramah. The Ramah said that when it comes to chicken, the Ramah had mentioned that when it comes to eating chicken with almond milk, there's absolutely no reason for any kind of a hecker. It's perfectly permissible to have chicken with almond milk, because the whole issue of chicken with plain milk is only issue d'rabbanan to start with. So we don't have to be so worried when he's eating chicken with almond milk. You don't even need a heker, because only d'rabbanan. And the Ramah admits, however, that if you're having red meat, having regular meat together with almond milk, then we're concerned that you better have some sort of a heker to take care of any problem with Marisayim and so on. So the implication of the Ramah is understood by the Shach is that we're not worried about Marisayim by the d'rabbanan. So the Shach had Sukkot and Vav had two times against the Ramah. One was, wait a second, even red meat with a glass of milk, that's also only drop on it. It's only also a derech bishul also Torah. It's only a problem with cooked together. So why does Ramah seem to say that they need a heker? What do you mean? Who said it was cooked together? So you have to say, says the Shach, that the problem was that it was cooked together, which we thought at first might be a sort of an unusual or an extended application of Marisayim, where what you're doing right now assumes something happened earlier. When you see the usually Marisayim, you look at what the person is doing, so you see that that's an issue. There, it assumes something that was done earlier. But we pointed out that's not necessarily so strange, because one of the examples of the case of Marisayim in the Gemara is a person hanging up wet clothing, that got wet over Shabbos, wet clothing. And the concern is that people are going to think that earlier he washed the clothing on Shabbos, which is on Shabbos. Okay, so that's the one issue. The second issue that Shach raises is what do you mean the whole premise seems to be strange? What do you mean there's no Marisayim d'rabbanan? He has cases from the Gemara. We saw yesterday cases in the Gemara, the case of the cowbell, for example, the cow going out with that bell, which was a sign that something was for sale, which is a Mekach or Memkar issue. The whole Xer Mekach Memkar is also only d'rabbanan. That's the way Paskin, the Gemara Beitza, the Rashi Beitza had two different possibilities, but the way the Rambam presents it, others, the issue is it's a Mekach or Memkar. Problem Mekach or Memkar is a concern. We d'rabbanan, it's also on Shabbos because of a concern you may come to write. Because ordinarily, when you do business, you write a bill of sale, you write a receipt up, or something. Today, I guess you type it up, print it out, whatever, but it's the same idea. So therefore, that's all d'rabbanan, yet there's Marisayim over there. So that's what the Shach's second objection was. How does the Ramah come off saying that there's no Marisayim by Darbon? It's not true. We find Marisayim is yes by Darbon. So he said maybe Shabbos is different. Aruch HaShulchan, other Achonim say Shabbos is different. Fine. But we ended off with an interesting take on the Ramah from the Pesachei Tshuva. We had an application of the Pesachei Tshuva. It says the whole Ramah is not, we misunderstood the Ramah. The Ramah did not mean to say that you never need a heker by chicken with almond milk. Ramah meant in private, meaning that avadav is marisayim by the rabbanon iser also. What there isn't, what the Ramah holds, there is not by the rabbanon, is the extension of marisayim the chadrei chadorim. We have a statement of the Gemara in a few places. Komokum shekozachon de marisayim afilu b'chadrei chadorim. Also, that's a statement of Rav, which we saw actually as a machlokas tanaim before Rav. And not everyone agrees with that concept in every single case. And that's a question of whether we extend a Marisayim even to apply to a case where there's nobody around, there's nobody going to see it. Marisayim usually is a concern that someone's going to see it. So Chadrei Chador means in complete privacy, but no one's going to see it. Maybe this shouldn't apply. So Rav says, no, once the Chacham made such a gzeret, then it applies everywhere, whether or not there happens to be somebody around to see, or even potentially somebody around to see or not. And not everyone agrees in the differences in different cases. So we suggest, what Pesachei Tshuva suggests, is that the Shita of the Ramah is that Avadav is Marisayim when the concern is Drabbanon, but the extension to Chadrei Chadorim, that only applies when you're dealing with a Din D'oraisa. So the Ramah was talking about a case of guys minding his own business, sitting in his own kitchen, nobody's there. So there, we're not worried about when the Isser of the chicken with the regular cholov, that's only Din D'rabbanan. So if the taka would be people around, then the Ramah would agree you have to have a heker because we're concerned of Marisayim if there are people around. But the case that the Ramah is talking about is Chadrei Chadorim, the guy's in the privacy of his own home and he's eating a supper and nobody's there. So there, when it comes to Din D'rabbanan, we don't have to worry about a heker because there's no Chadrei Chadorim by Din D'rabbanan. Hashem, okay, if he's having red meat, no, then that's exactly when the extension of Kol Shosu Chacham Mishum Marisayim through Bechadre Chador Moser by a Doraisa, that's true. the original issur, issur d'oraisa. So there, Rambam says, even if a guy's eating alone in the privacy of his own kitchen, still it'll require a hekken. That's what the Pesach Tshuva suggests, which is very logical. Except the problem is we point out, I said the Rambam doesn't say it. I mean, again, Ikar Chatzman say it, Rambam doesn't say it. But I showed you at the end, Rishonim who do make this distinction. As we look, we saw Tosu, we saw the Rosh, the Ran disagreed, the Ran, we saw the Ran and Beitza, you know, we saw this at the end yesterday, right? The Ran and Beitza said not so, the Ran and Beitza said it across the board. Just look for a second at 41, the Mishnah Berurah brings these Rishonim, the Mishnah Berurah, and this is the own Siman Shin Aleph. Of Aruch Chaim Hilchos Shabbos. So in Sivkot and Kuf Samach Hey, it was the last source we saw yesterday. What's the Svara B'Chadri Chador Moser? So the Mishnah Berurah says Hatam the Lo Chilku Chacham et Takanasam. Once the Chacham made Exeret, then it made Exeret. It doesn't matter where it is. But Rikasu Atos Arash V'Dafke B'Makom Sheish Chashah Shechdu Arom Shalsei Sederaisa. Mishnah Berurah quotes that Tosis, right? That was the Tosis we saw. Okay, Tosis over there in two places. Tosis in Ksuba Stav Samach. The Ramaslam Machon and Tosa Moy Cotton Dab Chesma Beis. The Tosa's there, and the Rosh in Shabbos Perchov Beis Simon Test. Again, he's rolled in Marmar Chomus from yesterday. So the Tav Mishavur quotes the Tosa and the Rosh. And Dafke Makom Sheish Chashash Shachdu Haroim Shosis Daraisa. Okay, like the case of the kibbutz, the case with the clothing. That's an issur daraisa, the wash clothes on Shabbos. So then Afilu B'Chadru Chador Masha Enekin V'Dover Shosu Drabbanon. Okay, by issur Drabbanon they only asked it before Hesiyah. And he says, well, the Mishnah Berurah concludes in 41, Huva Dov is Avagar Avram, which we saw, Tzivkot Nogav, and Taz, other Achorim. So, according to this, that's perhaps how the Ramah holds as well. That would be very good. The Ramah holds like those we saw in the Mishnah Berurah quotes. Okay, we saw the Tos of the Rosh, that you can be Makel, when it's Chadre Chadorim, then you don't need a Heker. Okay, and that's what he says the Ramah is talking about. Again, the problem is that the Ramah doesn't say that. But that's the Pesach Tshuva. And that's what we ended off with last time. There is, however, another possible way. In other words, just to clarify again, I mean, the Ramah holds that it's mutter to eat b'sar of b'cholov, okay, chol shkedim. I mean, we went out at anything there, but dafkin in his house. And in fact, remember the Maharshal, who we saw in the Am Shoshoma disagrees, was talking about Purim. Yeah, in Purim, the Ramah might agree, because in Purim, there's lots of people, it's a busy time, in Purim, there are other people there. Yes, and he would even agree. Okay, even the Ramah would very possibly agree. Okay, but anyway, that takes care of the kasha of the kashas of the Shach. Okay? Because the Shach is, what do you mean? The Gemara says Marasan does apply to Dabonim. So yes, the Ramah's not arguing on that point. But what doesn't apply is an extension of Chadri Chadorim. Okay, that's what Pesach Tshuva says. Again, the difficulty is, and Adrav, by the way, the case of the laundry, okay, the bell, the cowbell, right? In that case, where the Gemara itself seems to say that you can do it in your private chotzer. And that's exactly right, okay? In other words, this Gzera, it's Mekach Omemker, right? Because again, the bell was a symbol that was for sale. So it's Mekach Omemker, it's only dealing with Drabonim. So to go out to the marketplace in the public, that's the Gemara says not allowed. But privately in his own chutzner, it is allowed. But that's exactly Ramon's point, right? In other words, we don't know the Chadri Chadorim extension doesn't apply when the root of the whole problem in this particular case is Ravonim, which is the case over there in Mecca Homemker. Okay, so that's what the that's what we suggested in terms of the in terms of explaining Ramon. Okay. Again, the difficulty being the Ramah doesn't say it, but that's the Pesach Tshuva. What I'd like to look at today is something which Soloveitchik suggested, which is a different derech in explaining all of this, but based really on trying to understand what the root, okay, what the root of the whole, of the whole issur is. What's the root of the whole, what's the root of the whole problem of Ma'ar Zayin altogether? Again, it's there to Abonim, but where does it come from? Okay? So there are two possibilities, at least two possibilities. Chacham made Gzer Ma'ar Zayin. We know the Chacham didn't make Gzer out of left field with no mucker for it. What they say, I could argue, what do I care what somebody else thinks? Right? I'm doing what's right. God is my witness. Right? I'm behaving according to Halacha. What do I have to worry about? Somebody else is going to see it. That's his problem, not mine. What do I care? Right? That's logically one could posit that where does Gadol HaChacham altogether propose something called Maris Ayin Why? I'm doing what's mutter. So leave me alone. What do I care? You're going to think this. So mind your own business, right? That's the question, right? Conceptually. So the two, at least two possibilities of what the concern is with Bar Asai. One, okay, is based on the famous pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, the famous Isser of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. Right, that's printed in source 42. Vayikra Perek Yud Tes Pasuk Yud Aleph Kalchesh Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. We all know what Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol means, right? Rashi there in Chumash tells us Lifnei Hasuma B'Davar. Okay, if somebody's blind about a particular matter, doesn't mean literally a blind person. Even if it's a blind person, assume it's a blind person. Okay, doesn't mean literally. A guy can have 20/20 vision. We've got great glasses. But that's not somebody who's blind, literally. But he's blind with regard to this particular matter. Lo sitein eitzah she'ein hagenes lo. Don't give him advice which you know is not good advice. Okay? Al tomar mechor sorcha v'kachlo chamor v'ata oke v'lo tamino. You'll tell me, I'll give you a tip. Okay, this is the stock, buy this stock. You know darn well it's gonna not a good stock, but it'll help you in your business if you sell this stock, right? That's lifting. This guy doesn't know. I don't know too much about stocks. So if I'm not, I don't do too much with stocks, but if I do, it's with a broker who knows, hopefully, who knows what he's talking about. So far, I haven't had much hatzlacha with the brokers either, but okay, the reality, you know, that's what you do. You go to someone who's an expert, and he tells you a financial plan, and this guy tells you to do this, and he's not allowed up here. Look, I'll tell you something, you know, sometimes doesn't know. Obviously, what do they write in the prospectus? It says, past performance, no guarantee of future, something like that, right? Obviously, there are risks inherent in investing money. You understand that. So it's not that you, but if this guy thinks it's the right, that's why it says, by the way, at the end of the post, Ani Hashem. In other words, it's very hard to convict somebody of giving bad financial advice. Because what the guy is always going to claim in court, what's he going to say? I thought it was good. I had all this information. Taka didn't work out. Oh, I'm very sorry. Right, it's very hard to convince him. He'll be able to make a case that he didn't think it was bad advice. That's what's on the Hashem. Because Baruch Hu knows what you really knew and what you didn't know. In court, you can always say, I didn't know any better. This is what I thought was a, you know. But anyway, so that's listening. Suma dover lo sila eitzah she'ogenes lo, she'ein hagenes lo. And Chazal say as well, with regard to mitzvahs, you're not allowed to tempt a person with a baby. That's the famous Gemara Pesachim, Chof Beis and Beis, V'Tanya 44, Reb Nelson Omer, Minayin Shelo Yoshit Adam Kos Yayin LeNozir. You see a guy who's a Nozir, and you walk up to him, this is the best one I've had in months. Why don't you have a sip? Right? You tempt the guy to drink the oil, he's a Nozir. Right? Or Ibn Achayel Ben Noach, whoever it is, okay, it was, but why it applies to Ben Noach, not a Rishonel. Again, Talmud Lomar, but if neighbor loves the Mishnah, not allowed to inspire or encourage somebody to do an Aveira, that's also Lifnei Iver. He doesn't know any better, or you're going to convince him through your charm or whatever else that it's okay to do. That's also Isser Lifnei Iver. Okay, so the truth is, what do we see from there? That you're not allowed to mislead people. That's Lifnei Iver. So on one level, one could argue that's really what Mara Sinai is about. Because if people are going to see, this person is an Orthodox Jew, he's a rabbi, he's eating this or drinking that. So someone's going to say, well, I saw the rabbi do it, must be okay. Right? That's part of the concern. That's one angle, so to speak, as to the concern of Mara Sinai, right? Because people are going to be misled. Some of the onlooker is going to think, I saw Rabbi so-and-so or Mr. so-and-so go, he's a frum guy, he went into this restaurant and ate this on his stomach. It's a kosher restaurant, right? We don't say, well, what's in anyone else's business? No, that you see from Lifnei Iver, you're not allowed to tempt the person. It's a little different. It's passive. It's passive Lifnei Iver, but it's Lifnei Iver because Lifnei Iver doesn't just mean actually tripping somebody who's blind, putting a banana peel on the ground and he slips on it, right? Or putting an actual stumbling block in the way. In fact, there's some discussion. Does it actually mean? What if I actually do put a stumbling block? There's a blind guy who's puttering down the street with his, and I put the thing and he trips over it. Would that be Lifnei Iver? Chazal reinterpret Lifnei Iver. So there's even a question whether putting an actual stumbling block in front of an actual blind person is Lifnei Iver. Be that as it may, the bottom line is that this is one form of or one idea behind Maris Ayin that you're not allowed to trip somebody up. Okay, and we see that really in the Rashi in Krisus that we saw regarding Dam Dogim. You look at 45, right? The Mishnah said, the Gemara said in Krisus, Amarav, Dam Dogim Shekinso Oser. Right? If the Dam Dogim, but now you put it together in a bowl where it's not clear that it's from fish, right? And so it's Oser. And Rashi there says, and Chaf Aleph Beis Inquis, 46, very important Rashi, right, Shekonsu B'Kli Oser, Demechlof B'Dam Behema, V'Haroe Omer Mutter Lechol Dam. Somebody's going to say, well, I saw this guy do it, he's a firm fellow. I said, Rabbi, he did this, so I'm allowed to do it. That was the role of there must be Dam is Mutter. So Lifnei Iver, Maris Ayin, based on Lifnei Iver, this passive Lifnei Iver, is that somebody will come to the wrong conclusion on the base of what I say or the base of what I do. And that's a rabbinic extension of Lifnei Iver. It's not the same as if they were to actually walk up to a Nazir and I offer him a cup of wine, but it's a passive kind of thing. My behavior, if I'm a firm person, people see me, okay? And you could argue that the more important or the more knowledgeable a person is, the bigger the concern of Maris Ayin is. If I see, stop a guy, I don't know who he is, walks into a place, okay, but if I see that this person is the rabbi, he's known as the Talmud Chacham, he's known as the Tzaddik, or whatever, in the community, and I see him doing X, Y, and Z, then it's going to mislead me into thinking, well, he did, I could also do it. Right? That's exactly what Rashi's saying. Haroa omer mutar lechol dam. And there is a concern. That's the issur. And that's what Rav says, dam dogim shekitzo is osur. Okay? Now, that's taken care of with a Hecker. Oh, the hecker, then the onlooker won't be confused. Okay? So, in any event, but that's one angle in terms of Lifnei Iver. Okay? And according to that approach, one could say very well, like the Shach says, like the Marashal says, that what's the difference whether the original Issur is Daraisa Drabonim? That doesn't matter. I don't want people to think, based on what I do, that this is the Drabonim's mutter either. Religious Jews observe the Drabonim's also. So there it doesn't make a difference. Even if the Issur is only Drabonim, still, you know, if I don't want to mislead people, right? If people are see me doing this, they're going to think this is mutter. And they'll act that way. So, it's only the Issur Drabonim. So what? So what? We don't want them to violate the Issur Drabonim either. So therefore, according to this approach, the concern of Maris Ayin, it's going to lead people to the wrong conclusion, even if that wrong conclusion is only Drabonim. That's how Tosfos Avodah Zarah, Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, Dirmas, typically, Mishum Lifnei Iver, 47, okay, Tosfos says, that's what the Gemara there derived from a pasuk that certain is not allowed, and it was Tosfos asked, why can't the Gemara ask, why didn't I lift Neiver? Anyway, what's relevant to us is the line that I quoted here, and this Tosfos Exubus, and rather than Avodah Zarah, Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, Mikan Yesh Lahavi Raya, and my Shapir Shem Ratam, the shayach lemeimer lifnei iver af b'midi the less b'isur el drabonon. That lifnei iver applies even when the aver that's going to be violated at the end of the day is only drabonon. And that the tone there about melach al chalamoy, which Tosfos says ain't on some of drabonon. Again, we had that Tosfos yesterday in my cotton davches. That Tosfos she tells him. Fine, I don't go to the melach al chalamoy problem, but the Tosfos there derives that there is concern for Maris Ayin even when what's going to, the misleading conclusion that the onlooker will come to will only ultimately end up in violating Drabonim. Okay? There's an interesting Minchas Chinuch. I printed, if you're interested, you read through it. Minchas Chinuch is on this mitzvah in Parshas Kedoshim, Lifnei Iver, mitzvah Reish Lamed Beis. And it's in a section called Kometz HaMincha, the old original editions of the Minchas Chinuch, which nobody has anymore, but the old edition of Minchas Chinuch, the Kometz HaMincha was printed in the back. Now they incorporate it into the text. You know, they redid. I mean, you guys probably know anything different. The Machon Yerushalayim, the black Minchas Chinuch, you know, which changed the work. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen the original Minchas Chinuch. It's just like it's a brand new work. I remember when they first started to reprint Svarim. So, you know, I have a lot of Svarim in my house, I can't afford, and B, don't have the room to get down and start buying all these new Svarim that just reprinted with nice print and footnotes. So, you know, so the first time I broke that commitment was the Minchas Chinuch, because it's a different work. I got to say, Minchas Chinuch by mitzvah. Okay, and Minchas Chinuch, you know, my father, Ari Kaporos Mishkova, was a professor of English here in YU for more than 40 years in the college. And so he taught English. So one of the things he teach in the composition course was about run-on sentences. So he used to use the Minchas Chinuch as an example of run-on sentence, because you go three, four, five, you know, the old man, five columns before you get to a period. You know, and he'd write, I don't want to be marach too much, but then he'd write, you know. Plus, again, and at one time paper was hard to come by, seriously. That's every second phrase was an abbreviation. You know, it was Rosh Tevis. Sometimes obvious Rosh Hashanah, sometimes less obvious Rosh Hashanah. It was very, very, very difficult, just on and on, you know. And this new edition opened up. That's why my father said, run on sentence of Minchas Chinuch, you know. So it just goes on and on. It was paper, by the way, we know that paper was the Mishapur, if I'm not mistaken, writes that paper on Shabbos is plain paper, like this type of paper is Muchzumachus Chankis. Because paper was expensive. Today you can get a ream of paper, you know, 500 sheets for $1.90. But at one time it was not so common. Anyway, but be that as it may, that's why the Minchas Chinuch old song always wrote the abbreviation. They didn't have room for Roman regular to waste paper. Anyway, be that as it may, so when they made that new Minchas Chinuch, so first of all they put it in paragraphs. Well, you see it now, paragraphs. And they opened up all the Rosh Hashanahs. And you know they reorganized the sifkotten, so to speak. On, you know they made new. They still print the old ones. One's in parentheses, and one's in brackets. But they printed it, and they tell you what each paragraph's about. And it's a mechaim. It's a not that it needs my scum, but it's a classic work. You know, wonderful work. But now it's readable. That was the first time I said I got to buy the Minchas Chinuch. I broke it a few other times since, but not that. The ritual, you know, it was a new work. All those footnotes and so on. Anyway, be that as it may. So the Kometz HaMincha now is printed in this stamp, what's now the standard Minchas Chinuch. It's his own dollar, the Mitzvah on base. He asks the typical Minchas Chinuch type of kasha. He says, Nistapakti, there's a side point, just interesting. Let's say I take a tempt, I sell somebody, I inspire someone to do an Avera Darbonon. Do I violate this neighbor Daraisa? In London. In other words, because can you say, well, at the end of the day, the only thing that was violated was the Darbonon. So by inspiring a person to violate the Darbonon, do I, the inspirer, okay, violate the rights of the Darbonon? On the one hand, he says, you know, what do I mean? You can't say that the guy who inspired the other person to Avera is violating a bigger Avera than the Mice Avera done by the person who did it. The person who did it only ended up doing the Darbonon. On the other hand, the Minchas Chinuch said, well, no, even giving bad advice is a violation of Daraisa, so this is no better than bad advice. So you will violate Daraisa. And that's what he talks about here, you know, in this, he lives in Tzarkiyim, you know, and he quotes others, and he says that some say it's only Darbonon, but I'm not so sure. Look at the last line, Tzarkiyim, the Lord Gorom, Asiya, H. Hashem, Genes, or the Over Minatar. All right, stop. It's an interesting Minchas Chinuch, if you have a second to read it. But anyway, and he quotes some of the sources that we just mentioned. Anyway, at the end of the day, whether you violate Minchas Chinuch Suffolk, whether you violate the rights of the Rabbanon, at the end of the day, though, there's certainly Mara signed by the Rabbanon, because you're not allowed to tempt somebody to do even a Rabbanon. Okay, whether you'll end up violating the rights of the Rabbanon, so you can clear. But Lamaisa, it's also. So, Soloveitchik said the following. He suggested that the Shach and the Maharshal, who hold that there is a problem with Marasayan, even by chicken, and never mind the Piskei Tshuva's suggestion that I'm not even agree. There's always a problem with Marasayan by the Rabbanon. And therefore, even by chicken, with even by yourself perhaps, even by chicken with you know, with almond milk, it's still going to be a problem of Marasayan. Why? Because they learned that Marasayan is rooted in Lifnei Iver. Okay? And Lifnei Iver were concerned what the roa, what the person will think. So a person will see this rabbi having chicken with a glass of milk. Okay, you don't think, oh, it must be Sarof is okay with a glass of milk. You won't realize that it wasn't regular milk, it was almond milk. Okay, and the person's going to say that it's mutter, even though at the end of the day, this person now will go home and what he's violating is only Darbonon. He'll have a glass of milk with his chicken salad sandwich. Okay, and it's only Darbonon to be in, but still, it's a concern, and therefore you need a hecker so as not to confuse the onlooker. Okay, so that's one mucker. And that could be suggested there are what the Shach and the Marshal hold, and therefore there's certainly Marasayim with Rabbanon. However, there is another possible Makor for the Isser of, what do you call it, of Marasayim. And that is a different Parsha altogether. Source 49, Chumash and Parsha's Matos, the end of Chumash Bamidbar, Paraklamet Beis, Posachov Beis. That's what we know, right? The Bnei God and the Bnei Ruvain wanted to keep the land because they it was apparently good pasture over there, and they had a lot of flocks and animals and whatever else, you know the story. So they came to Moshe and said, we'd like, after they conquered Eretz Sichon and Og, you know, the Malchi Amori on the other side of the Jordan River, not on the Eretz Yisrael, because on the eastern side, they wanted to keep it. So as you all know, Moshe Rabbeinu said, well, what do you mean you're going to inspire the people to Once again, like the Meraglim, they're not going to want to go to Eretz Yisrael, don't do this. And Moshe got very angry, really lost his cool with them, and they said, no, no, we're going to come in, we'll fight, we'll lead the troops, and we'll help you conquer the land, and then we'll go back. So then Moshe Rabbeinu made the famous, what's called in Chazal, the Tanai B'nei God B'nei Ruvein, right? They set a Tanai condition. And a lot of the rules of the so-called Mishpat HaTanoim, when you make a Tanai, let's say I make a business deal on Tanai, or I'm Mekadosh al Tanai, or any other type of Tanai, so there's certain rules. The Mishnah says it has to be a certain formulation, formula has to be used. Has to be Tanai Kodol L'maisa, and Hain Kodol L'av, you'll know what I'm talking about, right? So, you know, all these, so that's all learned from B'nai Gav B'nai Ruvain. Well, if you'll come into the land, and if you won't, then not, and so on and so forth. So anyway, if you'll come in, so the pasuk continues, Paraklamet Beis, Pasukov Beis in Bamidbar 49, V'nichbish Ha'aretz Nifnei Hashem, okay, and the land indeed will be conquered, the rest of the land will be conquered, you'll keep your end of the bargain, okay? V'achar Toshuvu, then you can go back to Eberle Yarden and settle there, and V'yisem Nikiyim Hashem Umi Yisrael. You have to be clean, okay, and come out clean, proper, in the eyes of Hashem and in the eyes of the people. So that's two things. It's not enough. Like I said before, you can't say, well, God is my witness. Who cares what other people think? No. The Torah tells you do care. Moshe Rabbeinu here was establishing that it has to be clear, not only that to Hashem that you kept your word, but everybody. Right? V'yisem Nikiyim, may Hashem Umi Yisrael. Hashem Umi Yisrael. So if that's the case, with that we can understand that there's concern of, you know, of, even though they could have argued, well, what's the difference? As long as Hashem knows that we did our job, that's good enough. But Moshe didn't say that. Moshe said, he's in the Kiyam Hashem Umi Yisrael. And we have several halachas that are based upon that. So one is the famous Mishnah in Shkolim, Paragimel Mishnah Beis 50. The Mishnah in Shkolim talks about the following. You know that once a year they collected a half a shekel, right, from every single Jew. For what purpose? For the Karbanos Tzibur. Right, you have a din. Every day. Today was Rosh Chodesh. Today we read in the Chumash, you have to bring a carbon tamid shel shachar every day, a carbon tamid shel ben arbayim every day, and a carbon musaf on Rosh Chodesh. You have to bring a carbon musaf on Shabbos. So where are those carbonas? Where does the money come from? Not every Jew had to come to Yerushalayim every day and bring a carbon. One carbon was brought on behalf of all the Jewish people. A tamid in the morning, a tamid in the afternoon, a musaf on Rosh Chodesh, a musaf on Shabbos. It wasn't that every person brought. That's a if I bring a personal carbon, it's called a carbon yachid. Who has to pay for it? I do. I bring a chatos, I bring a carbon toda, whatever. So it's my job. That's a carbon yachid. So whoever brings the carbon has to pay for it. However, that's a carbon yachid, but there's certain carbonas are called carbonas tzibur. Carbonas tzibur has to come from communal funds. Okay, and no individual pays for it. Comes from community funds. How do you get the community funds? So once a year, they would collect the matzah shekel. They would collect it in the month of Adar. They would begin announcing it Rosh Chodesh Adar, and they would get it because the new fiscal year in the Beis HaMikdash started Nisan. Right, there was a new business year, fiscal year. The Beis HaMikdash was the new year was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So they gave everybody a month to get their matzah shekels in. That's why we read Parsha Shkolim on Rosh Chodesh Adar. Or if it's not on Shabbos, the Shabbos before Shabbos, right? So that money was, we're doing all those coins. So there was a room, there was a storeroom, a treasury room in the Beis HaMikdash where all these coins were kept. And when they needed to purchase more animals for these karbanos, so the treasurer, the gizmo, would go in, he would take out what money needs and so on. So the Mishnah says, Parakim Mishnah Beis, in Shkolim 50, Ein HaTorim Michnas, that person went in, should not go in low be pargor chofes, low be minna, low be sandal, low be tzul, low kemeh Hashem, not allowed to have any clothes, as Rashi said, Ravadi Bartanur, 51. Pargor chofes, kisham malbush orok, be chofun as homomato. You shouldn't wear a long cloak, which you have to fold, at the cuff at the bottom, like pants with cuffs. Okay, the cuff at the bottom. Why? And also not with types of shoes on, other things, all the, what's the problem? Okay, what's the problem? Because these are all things which you could open up, all the examples given that mission, things you can open up and slip a few coins in, right? This guy's going to this room with who knows how many coins are there, right? So what are we concerned about? We're concerned not Chas v'Shalom that he's going to steal. But what's going to happen? People are going to say he's going to steal. Okay, people say. And what will happen? Shema ye oni. Let's say this person, you know, makes some bad investments and he loses money and becomes poor. So what are people going to say? You know, people, the mission, those people. People will say, oh, you know why that guy got was broke, punish him. You know why he became poor? Because when he went in to take some money to go purchase the carbonas, he slipped a few coins in the cuff of his pants. So he had some type of pocket where he slid it in over here into the folds of his cloak, and he would steal from himself. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished him, and that's why he became poor. That's what people will say. Okay, so therefore, says the Mishnah, don't wear any kind of garments where it would be possible to slip coins in. Don't do it, because you don't want to give people any Pesach to say it. Or, you know, again, because people are people, the flip side. Oh, Shema Ya'ashir. Or the guy will become wealthy. And what will everybody say? V'yomru, oh, Mitzumas Alishka Hashir. You know, the guy said to his friend, you notice ever since that guy became in charge of collecting the money from the Beis HaMikdash, he got very wealthy. You think that's a coincidence? I think not, right? That's how people talk, right? So, you know, so therefore we don't want to. And what does the Mishnah say? If you should Adam Tzarech Lotzis Yideha Brios, Kederech should Tzarech Lotzis Yideha Makom Shenem Arvis and Nikim Hashem Yisrael. The Mishnah. You know, it's somewhat rare for a Mishnah to quote a Pasuk. This Mishnah quotes the Pasuk in Parshas Matos. These Nikim, they quote a Pasuk in Mishnah also. Which we paraphrase and benching, right? And Tzarechim to say, Chadom, Ein Elokim Ve'odom. So it has to be both. Okay, Elokim Ve'odom, Hashem Umi Yisrael. So that's our concern. And we find that other Gemaras also. They're concerned of Yisrael Nekim Hashem Yisrael. All right? What's the idea here? About, let's give another example. I brought the Gemara in Yuma, the Aflam and Chesem Nalaf, the Mishnayos, the Gemara, they talked that certain families had certain expertise. Remember that Beis Garmu, Beis Aftinas, this one knew how to make the Torah stone, how to make the Lechem Aponim. So the people who are in charge of the Lechem Aponim, says the Gemara in Yuma, Lam Chesem Nalaf, Me'olo, this is Pas Nekiyat Be'Avneim. Okay, Shalom Yomru Mimaisa Lechem Aponim Zenizon. Lekayim Hashem, Yisim Nekim Hashem Yisrael. That's another place where the Gemara quotes the Pasuk that they didn't have fine bread in their house because people would say, oh, they took from the bread of Lechem Aponim. Same idea. Okay, now, what is the, now, this is also a possible Mukkar from Maris Ayin, but it's a different kind of Maris Ayin. The first Maris Ayin we spoke about was Lifnei Iver. What's the concern there? That somebody is going to see what you're doing, and he is going to be misled into thinking that some of his usher, whether the rice or the bottom, is takamutter, and he'll violate that issue. Here, the concern is not that it's going to mislead somebody into doing something wrong, but it's going to lead people to think that you're doing something wrong. That they're going to judge you incorrectly, right? They're going to think that you violated this, sir. Not going to lead someone. You hear what I'm saying? It's not going to lead someone else. Here, the Visa Nikian is that people shouldn't think ill of you. That's it. Right, exactly.
They would do a different answer of judging
you. Yeah, right, right.
So there has to be some answer that we're lying
about. Right, right. Yes, yeah. They'll be chosh b'sherim or, you know, yeah. Violating it. We'll get to the end of the dalakav schus and so on and so forth. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, again, you see that in Rashi and Avodah Zarah. Take a look at the next Makar, it's printed 53. All right, again, that's one of the Avodah Zarah, Yud Beis and Aleph, is one of the places. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Kol Mokom, Shosu, Hamad, Eim, Ayer, Zayin, Afilu, Bechad, Rechad, Amar, Osir. What does Rashi say here? Again, contrast it with the Rashi that I showed you before in Krisus, where Rashi says, Haroa Omer Mutal Echol Dam. The onlooker will see that you're allowed to eat, think that you're allowed to eat Dam. Okay, here, look at Rashi in Avodah Zarah, Beis Medal 54. Kol Mokom Shoscham Dover Amutar Vasum Neimar Sain Shaharoeu Choshdo B'Dvar Avera. The onlooker will suspect him of doing Avera, not a copycat. Right? They'll think he did something wrong. Okay, the Choshdo. That's the concern.
That's not necessarily an answer. Okay,
so that because he was saying maybe it is, maybe it's Choshu B'Sherim. You know, or maybe it's a violation. We'll come to the end. Maybe it's a violation of Hamidana Kaskalavu. But even if it's not, you can say that was our opponent. Their opponent said it. And to answer your question, you know, it could be that there's no actual issa deraisa, or even the opponent. But kach tikno the chacham based on these nekim and shemim Yisrael. So you could go either way. It doesn't have to be the answer. But my point being that's different than lifnei iver. Right? But here, the guy. The little Rashi is saying, "Sharoa choshdo b'dvar avera." In fact, there's a famous story. I don't know if this story is all true exactly. But the Chavetz Chaim, you know, the Chavetz Chaim was once on a train. All these stories happen on trains, right? The Chavetz Chaim was going back to Radin or whatever. So a Jew coming who was also going to Radin didn't know the Chavetz Chaim. Was on a train with him and didn't know what it was. And so they were sitting near each other, and they asked him, this Jew asked, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Radin. Oh, I'm also going to Radin. Tell me, do you know the great Gaon, Tzaddik, the Posek Ador, the Tzaddik Yisraelam, the Chafetz Chaim? So after that introduction, the Chafetz Chaim didn't want to say, yeah, that's me. You know, so he just said, yeah. So the guy prayed, said, tell me, is he really such a Tzaddik? Like everybody says, there's so many stories, really such a Tzaddik? And the Chafetz Chaim said, no, not such a Tzaddik, you know. And is he really such a Talmid Chacham that he knows everything? Nah, not really. So anyway, the Chafetz Chaim, according to the story, answered in such a way that this man eventually took exception. And he said, you live in Radin, you see the Chafetz Chaim, how dare you speak that way about the Chafetz Chaim? He gave him what for? Your Motzi La is on the Gedolei HaDor and so on and so forth. The Chafetz Chaim sat quietly. Later on, the train, I guess, got to Radin, so they went to the Beis Medrash, you know, to the Yeshiva of the Davin Mincha, and this person saw, and he realized that was, so I saw him sitting in the front, you know, by the Rosh Hashiva, and he realized this was the Chafetz Chaim, so he felt awful, he felt, you know, felt the whole situation was just, so after the davening, went up to the Chafetz Chaim, I'm the person on the train, I'm so sorry, I didn't realize. The Chafetz Chaim accepted the apology, and he said, you taught me an important lesson. So an important lesson. I wrote all these sorum on Hilchos Shmir Saloshin and so on and so forth. I have to put another chapter in. Namely, not allowed to say Loshin Har about yourself either. You're not allowed to say bad things about yourself. Right? That was the... I don't know. I heard that they said, told over some story over to the Rav. The Rav said, well, that's Pasha like that, right? Because Chovabat, someone who mentioned the eighth paragraph of Overcoming, you're not allowed to harm yourself physically, so you can't harm yourself in other ways also. But be that as it may, you see here that you're not allowed to have people, you know, think ill of you either. That's the idea. So that's a very different... Now, with this in mind, okay, what the Rav suggested, I have to say that I didn't quite get it. I'll tell you what I think, okay? But the Rav said that maybe this was the Shach and the Marshal who learned that there's even by Drabbanon there's a chiyuv of making a hecker and so on because of the problem of Marisayin. We're operating with the first definition of Marisayin that is based on Lifnei Iver, and therefore we don't inspire someone to do even an Issa Drabbanon, right? Even though ultimately it's only Issa Drabbanon, but we were careful. Here, however, when we're dealing with the issue of a chashad that they're going to, like Rashi Sharoa Choshdo, okay, if it's based on this, so there we could say that maybe the Chachamim only goes there if on a Daraisa level. That's what by Daraisa. We're not worried that someone's going to think he's only violated Rabbana. I'm not sure why that should be. But the way I understood it, I'll tell you what I think. Okay, I'm not saying the Rav didn't explain it. I didn't look at the notes. I didn't get it. Or I didn't see that he explained it. But I'm sure he did. But in other words, he's saying that if you're going to base it on that the people are not going to be choshed him. So there, they're only worried when the Isser is the deriser. Okay. But when it is on the Rabbana, we're not as worried. The question is why not? So I thought maybe this was what the Rabbana meant. I don't know. Okay, because to put it on a Rabbana would taka be like exera. In other words, we're gonna make, this whole thing is only us and the Rabbana anyway. And now for them to make exera that somebody shouldn't think that he's violating the Rabbana is like an extra step. And I'm saying it's like not exactly exera, but a kain exera. Okay, in other words, they're not gonna make. At the end of the day, this person is not violating anything, right? So the guy who's doing this act is not violating anything right now, right? So now we're gonna say if it's a concern that someone's gonna think he's doing a deraisa, so then the rabbanon want to make exera. When all the person is doing anyway is a rabbanon. To say, now we're going to say, well, don't let anybody think he's doing it to Rabbanah, that's an extra step. I'm suggesting. Take it or leave it. But it's a suggestion. Okay? Here? In other words, when the man is taka doing something which someone's going to think you're violating a deraisa, so then the Chachamim war goes there, don't do it, that's Marisayin of Yisrael Nekim HaShem Yisrael. But remember, the person's not doing anything wrong anyhow. When the only concern is that someone will think he's violating the Rabbanan, they didn't make Xerah Marisai, and someone shouldn't think that he's violating the Rabbanan. It's like, I know it's not the classic Xerah, but it's in that realm. It's an extra step. It's an extra job. Maybe that's what the Rav means. And therefore, in that case, the Ramad said, you don't need chick. You don't need a, you know, a hecker by chick. So of course, so the guys, if someone's going to be choshen, he's eating chicken and almond milk, which is perfectly mutter. Someone's going to think, oh, he's doing this in the Rabbanon, therefore we're going to make exer that he can't do it. He can't do something because someone's going to think he's doing it in the Rabbanon. That's like exer, exer. I'm not convinced. I think it makes sense, but you know, I don't know if that's what the Rav meant or not. And the truth of the matter is, once you say that, you know, it goes back to what we said the other day from that placey, by the difference in Marisai and Chashoda, really. Okay? Of Maris, and we can define it like this. The Marisayan is based on Lishna Iver, and therefore it's Shaykh even by this is Rabbanon. Okay, Chashoda is like Visim Nikim, and maybe that's only by this is Deraisa. Now, we'll come back to that. There was no formal Xer, maybe. Okay, we can understand it that way. Okay, and therefore the Ramos said that Chachamim, we're not Gozer by this is Rabbanon, we're not worried about, you know, about that concern. Now, if we're dealing with the etzem issur, the daraisa, so the chacham said, you know what? Don't do something which even looks like an issur daraisa, so it's not to mislead people, right? And that's, so no one will think, and it almost becomes an extension of the issur itself. Not only am I not allowed to do this issur, I can't even do something which will make people think I'm doing this issur, because it'll mislead them. Not the first way. The first way, right? The Lifnei Iver way. Right? It becomes an expansion of the issur. Okay? And therefore we also, you know, even a Darbonim. And by the way, therefore it'll also be also b'chag b'chadorim, because it's just an extension of the issur itself. In other words, if you hold the Lifnei Iver way, so the Chachamim sort of expanded the Isser. Not only am I not allowed to do this, but I'm not even allowed to let somebody think that this is Mutter, because he may do it. So therefore, it does, you know, the Isser expanded now. So now, even if nobody's there, there's still an Isser, because the very Isser, so to speak, has been expanded. I'm not allowed to do something that looks like any of this. Right? That's the first way. If neighbor is not allowed to do this, I'm not even allowed to do something that looks like this. So that'll apply even you know, perhaps b'chad b'chadorim. Okay? But you could say, I'm just thinking out loud, you could say by Darabonon, well, when the whole issue is only Darabonon anyway, and so that'll also explain why. So that can come back to the Pesach Tshuva, really. Okay, the Pesach Tshuva said the Ramah agreed that if it's a public, then he said you would need it. Right? You would need a hacker just in private. Why should you? And just explain why don't you take on the Chadrik Chadorm extension? Because the Chadrik Chadorm extension is applicable, maybe according to the first definition. I'm suggesting something different out of it. Let's work this through. Could be the Chadrei Chadorim extension is when you're talking about an Isser. What's that? We're talking about an Isser of it's going to mislead somebody. Yeah, that's what I said, right? The Isser is going to mislead somebody. So it becomes an extension of the Isser. It's part of the original Isser. Right? It's part of the original Isser. And therefore it applies even to Chadrei Chadorim. If the only concern is that someone's going to think ill of me, right, and we're dealing with the Darabonon, it never became part of the Isser, then it's not only a problem when somebody's going to be think ill of me. And if nobody's there to think ill of me, you can make such a chiluk. I think it through a little bit. That's one way to look at it. Let's just look at one other. But anyway, that's our Salavatrix approach. Okay, it all really depends upon what the origin or what the mukor is, you know, from our sign. Is it a din of Lifnei Iver? So then it even applies to Darabonon. If it's a din of Chashoda, maybe it only applies to, you know, to Duraisa and not to Darabonon, because, you know, it was not an extension of the Gzera. It's something different. Okay, let's finish up now. I want to look at one other possible way of you know, mivarid it differently. Okay, that's I understand the Rav's idea, which is very good because it's based on, you know, it's really a question of what the mukar for marasayin is. But there's another possible also. Okay. It's also possible it's also possible to have a whole different take on this completely. There is a din. Okay, let's look in the Shulchan Aruch. I told you, Shulchan Aruch brings up Mechaber brings up Marasayin and Tziv Dalet. Let's look at that now. 55. And our Siman Peizayin Tziv Dalet. Also, Lavasha B'Cholam Isha B'Bnei Marasayin. Right? There I mentioned. But what kind of din is that exactly? Because look at the Mechaber continues to write. V'Nofal Atocha Tavshul Botel Ve'Ein Tzorach Shir Cholam Isha. Woman expresses milk. Okay, so and a lot of times women express milk, they put it in the fridge and so on and so forth, it's a little plastic. So let's say a woman expresses milk and she tells you to go get milk for the baby and you take some one of these plastic cartons out of the fridge, and as you're walking it didn't realize there's a leak in the thing and it drips into Tavshil. Okay, whatever, however you want to make up the case. Okay, so what's the din? It's bottle immediately ain't Sorek Shear. Well, if ain't Sorek Shear, what does that indicate? Ain't Sorek Shear, right? It indicates that this is not a real Isser, okay. It is not a real Isser. All right. There's an Isser of Cholop Isha because of Marasayin, but it's mutter without a shear. So that's not a regular Isser. Right? Not even Isser Rabbana. Isser Rabbana requires shishim, right? I mean, when do we find it on a shear? Apparently here, it's mutter without bittel, okay? Because there is no, if you will, there's no chefts of Isser to use it. In other words, basically when we say, when we say that something's awesome from Marasayin, okay, the whole Isser is not to do something which looks like there's an Isser. But there's no Isser Chevtze, right? And that's why Hecker works, by the way, right? There's nothing Usser about the Hecker works because the whole thing is not, the whole concern is not to do something that looks like it's also. So you have a Hecker, you know, the Kaskasim and the Dam, or the Shkaden by the milk and so on, because then it doesn't look like you're doing something Usser. Then there's no Isser in the Chefza, so to speak. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch seems to say. Okay? And he says, that's what he means. I mean, in Nofel Atocha Tavshel, Botel Vein Tzorch Shir. Right? I mean, there's no actual Isser. And yeah. See, with this you can also explain, you see what the Mechaber is saying? Let's work this too now. The Mechaber is saying, what does that show? That shows that there's no actual Isser. There's no, it's only a gzera. Okay, the fact that it's mutter without bittel is because it doesn't look like I did an Isser. So what's the issue? No problem. The problem then would be, though, why should there ever be a concern then in Chadre Chadarim, right? In other words, why is Marasayin ever extend to Chadre Chadarim if there's no actual Isser Chefze, so to speak? Okay, so then we can go back to that distinction between the place between Marasayin and Chashoda. Right, the Marasayin is that the Chazal actually goes there. So now you can say, that's what I started to say before, really, you can say that the Issa was part of the Gzerah. It became part of that Gzerah. Once it's part of the Gzerah, when the Chachomer goes there, don't do this, part of the Gzerah was, don't do this, or something that looks like this. And you can say that that was part of the Gzerah. Right, don't do X, or even something that looks like X is also not allowed. Okay. Let's just think that through. And that, you could argue, would only apply when the Isser is... As when the Isser is Doraisa, so then they could say that they were Mesake Maris Ayin, not as an extension of the Isser, but as something new, a new entity called Maris Ayin. A new entity called Maris Ayin. The Mela, will that explain... That will explain the Ramah, okay... You see, what I'm trying to get at is that one could argue that a whole different beer. Let's look at a couple of these makaris, and we'll see what I'm getting at. I really wanted to get to the Kukadosh, which in 15 hours, so quickly. There's a Chuas Rashba, okay? Someone asked the Rashba, this Shulchan Aruch pays Ayin Dalet. It's based on a Chuvas Harshba. Chuvas Harshba, Chela Gimel, some Ration and Zion. Right? Kevin Shechola Va'isha Achar Shapirish Mutim Kane Aim is the Isser Klal. The issue here is on Bishul, okay, cooking, Chola Isha. So do we say there's no Isser, okay? Or is there still an Isser Mishum Mahar Zion? And he says, Chuv Mistabri Sha'osel of Asher Koshkin La'achol, okay? And they wanted to bring a riot from the fact that Psar Behemoth Tamea, there's no Isser, not even a Mahar Zion. Right, there is no Maris Ayin. He said, "No, the two things are different. By Psar Behemoth Tameya with Cholof Tahora, or the other way around, they don't talk about Maris Ayin at all." Okay, and look at the language, and it's the last paragraph, third line. Behefresh Godo Yesh Bein Mashi Sur Mishum Gzera Bein Mashi Sur Mishum Maris Ayin. You see that the Rashba is Asa's cooking with the Psar at the Isha, right? There are more in the dark emotion. It says the less bim shumar sign, no problem. Mar sign. Take a look. Move down to 59. I'll pull it all together in a second. Look at the prichodesh. Probably should print this first. He's better. I give you the background. Prichodesh here in our sinner pay zayin to gotten zayin. The lean near ikar kedivrei hagwa. That's from a lahokel aftman shasar ashbo at that shuba levashel bosom cholam ishul emar sign. Who chiddush? We have the lolosi fala. She ain lano ligzor v'lesom midat tainu nemaris ayin zulosiv mashdis bar v'talmud. See that line in the Rashba from the prichodesh? We can't make up new maris ayins. Okay, ain lano ligzor v'lesom midat tainu nemaris ayin zulosiv mashdis bar v'talmud. And again, the hechad im rashas itmar, the hechad lo itmar lo itmar, ve'ain lano chiddush deres midat tainu. Okay, the only thing is that the Rashba says differently, says Karo Zak and Lisa, but conceptually. You see what we're saying here? You're saying here that you can't make up new Maris Ayins in situations where the Gemara didn't establish it. Okay, and based on this, one could suggest that's really what the Shita of the Ramah was getting at. The Ramah says, remember the Shach is against the Ramah. What about the case in the Gemara? So what will Ramah answer? This was not a case in the Gemara, right? This was not one of the cases of Maris Ayin, right? We don't make up, right? Wherever they go, there it goes. Wherever they weren't goes there. Okay? That's the Chiddush of this Pre-Chodosh. Okay? And he's saying that the... again, the Isser revolves around Chol Avisha, which we'll discuss by Hashem the next year. Okay, but that's what gave you the background there. They're printed, but we'll have to come back to that. But my point being that the Zera, so to speak, of the Shita of Ramah, okay, the answer the Kasha of the Shach, is that Ramah holds that we don't add Zeras of Maris Ayin by ourselves. Okay, and. For whatever reason, Chazal said Maris Ayin in this case and didn't say Maris Ayin in other cases. And therefore, because again, Maris Ayin is something which is, you have to say, was sort of built into the Gzera. And when they made the Gzera, they made it. When they didn't make it, they didn't make it. Okay? In other words, the case of Maris Ayin that the Gemara mentions, they did not make it by Darbonon. They didn't make it no Gzeres. Only it was included in the Gzera in the original is a problem. What it wasn't included isn't a problem. Okay. Let's take the case of the spreading out of the drying the clothing. Let's take the case of drying the clothing. Okay. There's nothing usher about drying clothing per se. That's not a forbidden act, and it doesn't look like washing. Okay. But the washing is an issur. So there it goes. Mishumara sign. It's like a side thing. Okay, and the asid it as a dindra bonon. The asid is a dindra bonon, and therefore that's part of the xera will include marasayim, but that wouldn't necessarily be the case by other drabonon by let's say by chalav shkedim where they didn't make such a xera. You know what I'm saying? So you put that together with pre-chadosh, it's a whole different answer for the Ramo. You don't have to come on telling the long who says it was a baal batish answer. They didn't make the xera in such a case, right? Now, Ramo admit that there is Maris Ayin by the Doraisa, right? Why does he say by red meat there is such a case? So he'll say that by when we're dealing with this Doraisa, when this Doraisa, so then you're creating, so to speak, a Chevtza Shalissa. The whole thing becomes, I don't want to say Chevtza Shalissa in the classic sense, but when we're dealing with Doraisa, this is an act which is usher. Well, 1 second.
Wait, can we just say that you both similar to the way that we said before in terms of
go ahead. Yeah.
A common sense bar sign?
Go ahead. What do you mean?
Meaning that if there's a chutzah shel iser, there's more room to say that
I
want to make sure that people don't.
Right, that's in effect what I'm saying, and therefore, but for example, that's where the Chadri Chadom will apply. Right, Chadri Chadom will apply because they extended the Isser. You're dealing with a regular Isser. Right, dealing with a regular Isser. You mean like we said the other day with the place that where they had a formal Xera?
Yeah.
I think so. I think that's correct. Okay, we have to sharpen it a little bit, but I think so. All right. In other words, if there is, there's no difference in chadri chadarim or fahesian and tzina and so on and so forth. When it's a doraisa, because there it's a regular iser. We're dealing with a regular iser, darbonon. Whereas when it's only darbonon to begin with, so then it would entail, so to speak, an extra gzera. It goes back to what I said before about Xera Xera. I have to just get it straight. I just want to think it through.
Unless you say it's a single tafsir Chachamim.
That's what I was trying to say before, that once the Chachamim asked it, so they asked it, part of the issue was to do that which looked like the issue. Part of the issue to do the, but that's you see, I'm struggling with this, obviously. So again, reason the kiyim does not create an isser on the item itself. That's what I brought out from that mechaber, right? That by Cholavishi he says there's no din of bittul. You don't need bittul because it's not a regular isser. It's not a regular isser. Okay? It's not a regular isser. You see, maybe it's like this. When we're dealing with a deraisa, so then the chachamim, by definition, were gozer They made a formal gzera that not like I said before, not only not allowed to do this, but not allowed to do something that looks like this. That's the Gemara extension. Right? When you're dealing with the Raisa, they don't even want you to do something that looks like it's awesome. Either way, because it'll mislead people that we're finished with. But I'm just saying conceptually, when you're dealing with the Din d'Oraisa, the Chachamim didn't want you to, even the Gzera was, they didn't want to do something that looks like this in Issa d'Oraisa. And Ramela, once there were Gozer, it applies even B'chadri Chadarim, right? Because it's a formal Gzera. And it doesn't matter that nobody's there. And because it always becomes like a Chetz of an Issa. Always becomes a Chetz of Shal Issa. The Chachamim said, this act is an act of Issa, right? This food becomes a Chetz of Issa because you're not even like doing it. It looks like you're doing it, right? It becomes a Chetz of Shal Issa. That's when you're dealing with Daraisa. But when you're only dealing with Darabonan to begin with, okay, when you're dealing with Darabonan to begin with, they didn't make like a side iser on it. They didn't make an additional iser, maybe because of gzera, and therefore it wouldn't apply b'chadri chadarim, and a heker would take care of it. I don't know. I need to think it through. I'm just trying to understand this again. The Prichodesh says what he says, and maybe that's what Amor means. We don't add on the place where Chazal weren't gozer, but with a daraisa. That's the definition of Maris Ayin. That the word goes there, Maris Ayin, don't even do something that looks like this when it's a Doraisa, as opposed to Darbono, when it wasn't the same type of Gzera. So when it comes to Darbono, we're only going to say Maris Ayin in those places where they formally said it. Where they formally, Ain Lon Lizer Lesum Datem Maris Ayin, Zulu Simash is Bor B'Talmud. I don't know. Okay, requires a little further ear, but I did think that Pichot is a very important concept. I just want to add. I don't have it on the paper because it's not in the Bar-Ilan sources. But I wrote in my notes here. The Chazon Ish, Chelik Rodei Sim Kuf Nun Sim Katan Yud Aleph writes, Masha Gozu Harishonim is his lashon. You know, it's a little disagrees a little bit. He says, Masha Gozu Harishonim Gozu Al Shoresh Hadavar. They have the right. The Chazon Ish says they do have the right if it fits into klalim. You know what I'm saying? The Chazon Ish. Okay, the Chazon Ish, you know, it says that we're not really limited exactly to what it says only in the Gemara. It was given, the Chachamim Rishonim Gozu al Shoresh Hadavar, but Masur al Chacham Haboim to decide what else can fit in that category, and what else can be in the that's their job to fit in what else, you know, what else can match, so to speak, or fit into the into those categories. So it's a little bit different. It gives you a little more leeway. Okay. Again, if you say like this, last point, okay, they said it where they said it, they didn't say it, you know, kind of a balabatish or teretz almost, based on that prichadush. I was trying to say a little more lumdus, I'm not sure if it all works. That's the question, is Maris Ayin part of the Gzeira, or it's something incidental? Marasayan part of the Gzeira, or is it that? Well, I want to sharpen that. Okay, all right, let's go back. I just want to finish up. We can think about this further. We did have, I mean, without this list that I said, which I'm not really so sure I have clear, but we have several terutzim to explain the Ramah against the Shach and why he would say what he says, whether the Pesach Tshuva's direction or Shabbos is different, or this last point that it's a different type of that's not included in the Gemara, therefore we don't have to make it up. And I wanted to make this chilek of whether it's part of the Etzim Isser or not. I just need to clarify it a little further. Machlokas, where the Marisayim become, maybe that's Gufa, the Machlokas. Does Marisayim become part Gufa of the issue? That's the Machlokas, the Shachan Amora. Maybe does it become part of it, or it remains separate? Okay, enough. So I just want to finish up this subject. the last few Makaras, just to move over to Halacha Lemaisa, okay, on this issue of Marisayim, on this issue of milk products and so on, the things that look like milk, Chalav Shekedim. Just to go over that. So the Ber Hetev here in Sivkot and Zion, okay, well, this Ber Hetev is really a side point. The Ber Hetev, he talks about the difference between a lechol, vadai shalamad, the osa shema lechol, basar opachalav, shu istra boran, v'chem sar behem et harmachet. It says he's only talking about bishul. And that was a totally different, I should have put this in the previous anaf. The Ber Hetev is a different explanation altogether, okay? And the place he disagrees. But he says, according to Ramah, he says the difference between Lechol and Levashel. Okay, there's no Maris Ayin by Bishul. Okay, but we'll leave that out for now. I want to point out the Badei Shulchan, which I don't have, but the Badei Shulchan is written by a contemporary writer, Five Akon, you can take a look. And here, this is Kot Memches. Okay, he says, today we have many things that look like milk. It's margarine, which, you know, other things come from vegetables and so on. Okay, and he feels that we should be machmir on those things, not to eat them, okay, unless you have a box or something on the table that indicates because of this concern of marzayim. Okay, like by the shkedim, not by that, even the chicken, not like the ramon. Okay, however, the placey in Sivkot and Ches here, in Sivkot and Zion, opens up the door to a kula. Okay, and he talks about this issue of whether that the Ber Hetev was talking about whether by Bishul is Marisayin or not, and that's the starting point, which we're not going to go into now out of time. But he mentions at the end something which is important, and that is it common? Okay, in other words, he suggests that when something is commonly done, you don't need a heker. He said, by the dam dug him, so it wasn't too common to gather the blood in the cup, so therefore, ein shchiyah, therefore, it might mix people up. Okay? Or cholav isha. It's not common that people take, breast milk from a woman and they're going to use it. Those things are different. Okay? But based upon the Gemara, okay, remember, Yos HaGlil, in his town, they ate the chicken with milk. Okay? So, for example, in his town, what Marisayin was, they asked the question, we had the Gemara, right? He quotes it, the place he does. Again, it's Sivkot and Ches. Look at the third line. He says, all right, what happened to Marisayin? Right? How can they eat chicken with milk? They're Marisayin. People think you eat meat with milk. Okay? The answer is no, they didn't answer it because it was common. Everybody knew it. Everybody did. And there was no reason to mix it up with regular meat. In that town, when they ate everything together, it was not a problem. Not Marisayin. And look at the last two lines. Even came b'chalav shkedim, came the shchiach, levash b'chalav shkedim. Okay? Umutom umot. He says it's very tasty. Okay, gives you a culinary comment here. Lo choshel Marisayin klal. All right? And he said that there's no problem. So what he's suggesting here is that when it's something is commonly done, then perhaps you don't need a heker. That's what he's getting at. And I quoted the Gemara there from Kuf Yud Gimel, right? Yosef Glili says, you know, that this, that the Sarof is mutter altogether, and the Gemara Kuf Tezayin. Okay, you can read the Gemara. You saw the Gemara already. You hear the point? When something is common, and then the problem with Neiver, I'm sorry, the problem of Marisayin doesn't apply because everybody knows. Okay, apparently it was more shkia. I don't know. The question is, what about Chalav Shkedim? Is that shkia chanat? Well, in his town, Marshals was only on Purim. Maybe he was machmir. Maybe where the Ramo lived, people did it all the time. So it was common. So he wasn't worried about a heker. Whereas the Marshal was only on Purim. That's once a year. So then he was machmir. Maybe we could say like that. Okay. For example, just on that point, the Chidah 66, and the Machzik Brocha. Yodesim Peizayin, the Bayas, the Sukkot, Bekushtandina, Nogu Lechol Orez, Shinizbashal Bechol of Shkedin. Okay, they would eat rice, which was cooked with almond milk, Ubismachos Nogo Lecha Shukhan in Paris with Donas Achar Khil Tavshili Bosser, and they would eat it right after Tavshili Bosser, okay? And they would have a Kruv Mulabasar and Chav Shkedim, and Vizeminik Pasar, the Kamarabana below Irubaze. Nobody made a fuss about it, okay? And so one of the things he says that in that place it was known. Okay, in that place it was known. Nikar Bimkomo Shaita Yosef and Ochel Shkedim. That was a bigger cooler, so to speak, than putting the almonds there. It was known that this was okay, right? And therefore, that opens the door to Heter, despite the Bada Shulchan's Chumrah. That opens up that Rav Ad Yosef, for example, as a tshuva, if Tarim read through it, Chelik Vov of Yabia Omer, Chelik Ardei Simches, the Shaila was in Tel Aviv, right? The Shalti, it was this, by the head of the Kashrus here. Odos Mashenagu Ka'es Bekama Batei Malon, Lagish L'Orchem Acha Arucha Besaris, Kos Cholav Sinteti, She'ein Bo Kol Tov is Cholav, there's no milk, Elo Cholav Tzimchoni, it's, you know, it's plant-based. Is there a problem with Marisine or not? That's our question. You go to every wedding, they serve you a creamer, non-dairy creamer for dessert. And therefore he says that, he goes to the whole sugya, you know, with Kedarko, with Barisayan, with the Ramon Shitas and so on. But he says again, this is not really milk. It's not. All right? It's Cholav Shkedim. It's only juice and so on. And he says the same, and he quotes that Maksik Brocha, that's, you know, that Kustandin, that would have this rice and so on. Anyway, so if I just say, also, you have a chance to read through the Tshuva, you can see it. Says that when it's known, when it's a W Yadua, today it's a W Yadua, when they put a little silver thing with milk in it, and it's an OU function, and we know it's not regular milk. There's no matter, you don't have to have a carton or a box there that says, you know, that says milk, okay? It says part milk and so on. So in any event, therefore that's the basis of the heter of today, of using margarine and non-dairy creamer you know, all of these types of things, okay? It is somewhat, subjective. It depends on where you are and when you are. You should just be aware, okay, when they first introduced Shabbos clocks, timers, wasn't there a Meyer sign problem, right? That people are going to walk and see the lights go on and off in a religious house, right? But as they became more common, people know, everyone knows, that no one's going to be choshed, you know, that they're on a timer. Okay, people have things on a timer. I remember, I think, Rav Moshe Feinstein at the Tshuva, that someone asked him about putting an air conditioning on a timer. And he answers it, because he says, air conditioning is not so necessary. Okay, that was when he wrote the Tshuva in the 1960s. Today, you know, it would consider it necessary. So certain things, you know, are somewhat subjective. But that's what what he's getting at is, you know, you have the par of ice cream you know, the, what do you call it, what's that brand they have sausage, Morningstar, right? The Taka Milthies, I think. But so all these things we know today, you have creamer and after flashes, you can have all these different things, with the par of ice cream, things along those lines. It's not a soy burgers and impossible burgers, all these things. Today, everybody knows. So based on this Tshuva of Avraham Yosef, it goes back to the Maksik Brocha, which really goes back to the placing. He's saying, when it's nicker, when it's coming, so we don't have to be as strict. I'll just end this whole discussion on Marisayim. And I apologize. I thought I had a good Mahalach until I have to rethink it. But the last thing I said, you know, the fourth approach after the rope. But okay, anyway, you know, I mentioned before, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Vov, says, Havidanas Kolon Kavskos. So what's this whole business of chashad? What do you mean we're marisayin? You're supposed to judge really favorably. Well, that mission should undo all of this whole discussion. Someone's going to be misled. What do you mean? You see a guy doing something from fellas, Mr. Tommy's doing this right. What's going on here? How can we be, how can we ever, be chosh to anybody, right? So the answer is about Batish. Well, you know, that's nice that it says in the mission, but people don't do it. Right, people don't always judge favorably, but the Stechemen, again, it's not in the sheets, but if you want to look it up, Stechemen is in Klolim. Marechas says Ches Klal Nun Hey. He quotes that even though there's a din of, not to be Choshe B'Ksherim and so on and so forth, and there's a Dan Kav Schuz, okay, but when a person does something, it relates to what we just said, when a person does something which seems very strange, so then, Taka, one second. Then it's not so posh. You have to don him favorably, okay? You don't have to be don the castles when a person does something that's so outlandish and so wild, and you shouldn't do that. he does that, then it is misleading. So that's what this Nechemet says. Mamela fits what I just said. Today, having dairy, a part of ice cream at the end of an affair or something like that, or a part of milk with a coffee at the end of a flashing a dinner. So today, it's everybody knows, so it's not so outlandish. So Taka, we should be Donath calling on Kafskos. You know, walk in and say, hey, what's going on here? They're serving milk. You know, someone just landed here with, you know, time travel from 100 years ago. So walks in and sees it. We wonder what's going on. But in our society today, you know, that's not considered so wild, and therefore we'll be down the cuffs. Okay, we'll stop over here.